Hello, my friends. Pastor Chris with you as we open Luke 9 today on Through the Word, an essential chapter about finding who you are by knowing who Jesus is. Let's dive in at verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus sends out the 12 on mission. Jesus still sends us on mission today. Every mission is different, but several keys stand out about their mission. Two pairings. First, he equipped them with power and authority. Power to do the work and authority to make it legitimate. And notice on this mission, those will be their only equipping. No bag, no bread, no money this time. The second pairing forms the mission's purpose. Proclaim God's kingdom and heal the sick. Message paired with ministry. They will both preach and serve. Just like Jesus, the healing bears testimony to the message, which is always the kingdom of God. There's an important lesson on miracles here. The miracles support the mission, and the mission was about the message. Never do we see Jesus nor the disciples perform miracles just to show off. Well, when they come back to meet Jesus, they meet him in Bethsaida, and he draws a large crowd, and he preaches to them the kingdom of God. Do not miss it. The kingdom is Jesus' primary message. Then in verse 12, things get interesting. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." The disciples have a real problem. Several thousand people and not much to eat. And the only solution they see is to send the crowd away. When you get involved in the ministry of helping people, one challenge is bound to hit you. Too many needs for you to handle. But watch Jesus' response. Verse 13. He replied, "You give them something to eat." So the disciples told Jesus to send them away. But he says, "You feed them." Pay attention. Jesus doesn't just fix the problem. He includes the disciples. They get to be part of it. But hold on. There's a problem with this. Back in verse 13. They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," about 5,000 men were there. Note that they counted men because most men represented a family, so you could estimate there were at least 3 people per man. That means 15,000. Okay, nice idea including us, Jesus, but this one is impossible. Impossible is your job, not ours. Now watch Jesus carefully here. I want you to picture this one and see it with fresh eyes. Verse 14. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. Pause scene. Play it back in slow-mo. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. Now zoom in on one disciple. He's holding about 1/2 bread loaf and just a portion of 1 fish. No miracle yet. And look at his eyes. He looks at the food. Impossible. Looks at his part of the crowd. Impossible. Looks back at Jesus. Well, if you say so. And he steps to the first person and does what Jesus said. We feed them. Now, by all reason and experience, that story should end just a few people in for every disciple. But in verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Well, what do you know? Jesus told them to do the impossible, and they did it. Don't miss that. This miracle did not happen in Jesus' hands, though it did start with Jesus' word. And for anyone in ministry who has ever been overwhelmed by the need, like God simply hasn't supplied you sufficiently, maybe start by just sharing what Jesus gave you. You may be surprised to see just how far it goes. Now, the next section is one of the most important in all the Bible. and it's about who Jesus is. Verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" Jesus starts with an easy question. It's easy to talk about what others say about Jesus, and the disciples offer up a few answers. And you can discuss what your friends or parents or pastor say all day long. But faith has to be personal. So Jesus cuts to the critical question in verse 20. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" That simple question may be the most essential question of your faith. Who is Jesus, according to you? Peter answered, "God's Messiah." And Peter got it right. He knows who Jesus is. Jesus instructs them not to tell anyone yet. In verse 22, "And he said, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life.'" Wow, that's the whole thing. And notice that who Jesus is determines what Jesus must do. He is the Messiah, and so he must suffer, die, and raise to life. And then, at verse 23, Jesus goes on to explain who the disciples are and what they must do. You see, you'll never understand who you are until you know the one who made you. As soon as the disciples acknowledge who Jesus is, he reveals to them who they are. You can spend your life trying to find your purpose, but you'll never truly understand what you are meant to do until you know the one who meant you to do it. So Jesus reveals what it means to be a disciple in verse 23. "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?'" Memorize that passage. You'll spend a lifetime uncovering its meaning. First, Jesus told them that he would suffer. Now, following him means a cross for us as well. To follow Jesus, you follow Jesus every day. And what about that statement, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it"? He's not talking about rescuing yourself from a burning building. He means trying to give meaning to your own life, living for whatever you want to, and trying to get what you want from life. Jesus says, "Try to save it and you'll lose it." It's meaningless. If that hits home, read Ecclesiastes with us. "But whoever loses their life for Jesus will find it. Give up on all that the world calls life, trade it in for life in Jesus, and you'll find yourself alive, more than you ever imagined. Not an easy life, not an all your hopes and dreams life." Don't twist Jesus' words. He simply says, lose your life for him and save it. Next up, verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So first, the disciples acknowledged who Jesus is, and now they get a quick glimpse of who he really is. I think there's a lesson here. The more you acknowledge God in your life, the more he will reveal his true nature. Believing is seeing. And while they're standing there, Moses and Elijah show up. Peter says something goofy, and then in verse 35, a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." I encourage you to read that story and just take it in. The chapter goes on with several more great lessons on what it means to be a disciple. And it closes with a series of personal challenges from Jesus to carefully count the cost of following him. Read Luke 9 today and let Jesus ask you the question, "Who do you say he is?" Answer honestly, and he may just reveal to you something about who you are as well. And I'll meet you back here in chapter 10.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.